So one of the frequent asked questions people like to ask me, how to balance, you know, sometimes we tend to swing from one end to another, how to balance that. And normally this type of questions, I find it, I can't really give the answer, you know, because there will be another Dharma talk. And also, what is the middle way, you know. So that's why today I would like to talk about how to balance. Actually, the Buddha said, you know, that there is a recipe, but no such thing that, you know, I just tell you how to balance and then you can just, you know, apply and then you can, once you just do it and you get done with and you solve your problem. No, actually, to be able to balance, you know, to walk the middle way, actually takes lots of practice. You know, it's not that just so simple, I can tell you. You know, even the Buddha can't do that, you know, or tell you, okay, this is how you balance, you know. It's the same thing, you know, like for example, if you don't know how to play guitar at all, you know, can you know how to tune it, you know? Oh, you don't know how to play piano, how do you know how to tune it? You don't know, isn't it? First of all, you have to know to play, you know, to practice, you have to practice first, you know. That's why, like we tend to swing from one end to another. For example, like sometimes, like it's a very common thing, you know, like people say, oh yeah, I have to let go, and then let go, that then it becomes like couldn't care less, everything don't care. You know, I remember some years ago someone said to me, because this person like very attached to, you know, everything has to be clean, you know, and then she said that she's always concerned that it's not clean enough, not tidy, you know, and she has a lot of stress about cleanliness. And then she realized that, then she said, okay, now I don't care. Then she just don't want to clean her place. And then she swing from one end to another. Actually, it's not, you know, it's just like from one end to another. It's just like sometimes, like for example, sometimes your weakness can be your strength. Your strength can become your weakness. Sometimes it's good to be, you know, to be really assertive, to be firm. But sometimes if you're too much, you become stubborn, you know. You're not open. And sometimes, yes, open is good, but you're too much, you become like no backbone, you know. Whatever the other people say, you know, oh, yeah, 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 you know, I open to everything, you know. It's not like this, you know. But to be able to where to draw the line, you know, to balance that, it takes lots of practice. You need to have the wisdom. Actually, middle way actually is wisdom. And wisdom cannot be taught. It's just like the Buddhist, I just know if someone of you here, you do the chanting, you talk about the Dhamma. The Dhamma, when you chant it, actually you translate in English, you said the Dhamma is well expounded by the Blessed One. Apparent here and now, timeless, encouraging investigation, leading onwards, to be experienced individually by the wise. So you have to put into practice, you have to experience that, you know. You cannot be taught, you know. You know, you have to put into practice, you have to experience yourself. So that's why, so middle way is not that, I just tell you, you know, the way and then you can just do it and that's it, you know. No, you can't, you know. You have to balance, you know. Like for example, I come across people like listen to this Kalama Sutta. Then the Buddha said, you don't simply believe just because of someone had told you, or you don't simply believe because of come from tradition, or you don't simply believe someone because you respect the person, or you don't simply believe because it's, you know, come from, you know, passing from the many generations, you know, or you know. And then people come into simply don't believe. I'm not convinced. I don't believe, you know. Actually, the Buddha said you don't simply believe nor simply not believe. You know, you leave it open, you know. So you see, you be investigate, we see, you know. We have to use our own discretion, you know. But not come into conclusion simply because the Buddha said you don't simply believe. So I don't believe whatever other people said. It's not like that, you know. That's why people swim from one end to another, you know. And that's why the Buddha, and lots of people think that the Buddha, when after the Buddha's enlightened, the first teaching the Buddha taught, people think that he taught the Four Noble Truths. But actually, it's not. The first teaching the Buddha taught actually is the middle way. The middle way the Buddha said is discovered by him because he tried very hard, you know, and you know that because he find that when you indulge in sexual pleasure, and then that leads to suffering too, you know. But we don't torture ourselves, and then he go from indulgence to self modification. I come across people into this climate change, environment friendly, and then try to not to use a heater, you know. And it's okay, summer you don't use heater. It's okay that summer you don't have hot water, it's fine. But winter also, the children also have to shower with cold water. Because they attach, you know, the idea of, you know, because I'm someone that, you know, I care for the environment friendly. I'm not to use, you try not to use, you know, all these gadgets or even use the heating, you know, and because of, you know, if because of the pollution and things like that. But the Buddha said we do need to have a basic physical comfort. You know, not torture ourselves, but also, and then we don't have to feel guilty if we have, you know, if there's something, you know, food that is nice, you know, it's just, yeah, it's, you know, we just enjoy the food, yeah, it tastes good, but without thinking that, oh, I'm going to get more, I'm going to, you know, maybe on the expense to get this, you know, the desires come, and then because of the desires overcome by the desires, we want to get it, you know, and then even on the expense of others. It's not like that, you know. But it's okay. We don't have to feel guilty. We need to have, you know, too much suffering also you cannot practice, isn't it? That's like the Buddha said, neither way, you know. You know. And then actually, some people feel guilty, say, oh, I shouldn't have, you attach to happiness, then, you know, you shouldn't attach to happiness. But the Buddha still said that certain happiness that the Buddha do encourage us to pursue. What are the things that we should pursue? What are the things that we don't, you know? For example, the happiness that comes from sensory pleasure, you know, because the sensory pleasure, the happiness that come, the Buddha never denied those happiness come from the senses. But this kind of happiness that, you know, that is just like borrow, you know, then you want more and more and more excitement, is never end, you know. It's not that it's good or bad. It's just like the Buddha said that it's something that is, anything that is unwholesome, the Buddha called this unwholesome happiness, it leads you to more suffering. So anything that is wholesome is nothing personal, it's not judging anyone, it's not that if you're bad or good, you know, or you're terrible, it's not about that. It's just like, he just very clearly point out that whatever things that you do that is unwholesome leads you to suffering, whatever that things that is wholesome, it leads you to freedom and happiness. So the Buddha said that we should pursue the happiness come from within ourselves, that not dependent on something outside, not dependent on our senses, not dependent on someone else. Like for example, sometimes we think that our happiness is come from the other person or this person, you know, because of this person will bring me happiness. Then we attach to the person, attached to the object, we think this object gave us happiness. Actually, it's not the object gave us happiness. Actually, it's when we have contact, feeling arises, pleasant, unpleasant, and then we attach to that experience, that feelings, you know. And also even with people, you know, that we feel some people that they make you feel good, you know. Then actually it's not the person is the source of happiness. Actually, it's how the person makes us feel, you know. Then people, a lot of people misinterpret thinking that, oh, my source of happiness come from the person or come from this fruit object, so I have to get more, I need more and more. This is how it never ends. So then, like other happiness, the Buddha said that the happiness that we should pursue is the happiness that comes from in not dependence on other things, not dependent on the object. It's independent. Actually, like for example, you practice generosity, giving. When you give, you feel happy. Or you is meditation, you know. Or you listen to a Dharma talk, you know. Or you read a Dharma book that something really inspire you, and you got lots of inspiration, and you feel really happy. You're inspired, and this is happiness within yourself. The happiness is not depends on something else. Because imagine if it depends on something else. If you can't get it,
you be ready, you suffer, isn't it? You can't get what you want, and you suffer. So, but the happiness within ourselves, we are not dependent on something, it's within ourselves. So the Buddha said, so we should know what kind of, you know, things that we should pursue and what not to pursue, you know. And that's need a lot of practice. You need to have the clarity. So the Buddha said, after my enlightenment, I discovered this middle way. What is the middle way? That is the noble four path. So this is the it's just like the recipe. The recipe of the noble four path is the all these eight ingredients. Right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, and right mindfulness, and right, they call it right concentration, is, you know, it's just like the focus, you know, the right, because when why the Buddha put right, you know, yes, you know, like mindfulness, why the Buddha said put right mindfulness, yes, a thief when they're stealing also, they can mindfully steal things, isn't it? So that is not the right mindfulness, you know. Yes, you can focus, you know. But yeah, you know, but the thief stealing, they are really focused, you know. But not this kind of focus, you know, because it's not skillful, you know. It's something unwholesome. So that's why the Buddha said it's the right. And the right effort too. Sometimes we put effort into, yeah, like a thief stealing things. He put in effort to steal, isn't it? To be really that mindful, it's an effort in there. But this is not the right effort, and this will lead you to suffering. So this, so we have all this. The recipe consists of these eight ingredients. But a lot of people think that you only practice this, you link to this. No, actually, you have to pick up the whole path. The eight ingredients have to be there. I come across people come to me. They say, I'm only interested in meditation. Don't tell me about all the Dharma, the Buddha's teaching. I'm not interested in the teaching. I just want to meditate. It doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work. You think you try to sit and sit, you know, but how you live your life is important. You know, morality, restraint, you know. If you don't live a good life, you know, if you are someone live carelessly, mindlessly, you know, someone that is, you know, really not caring and very self-centered, you know, and, you know, and always have this fault-finding mind, complain all the time, you have all these negative thoughts, you know. You think when you sit down, you think you can sit, you can't. You need the support. Why? Giving. Practice generosity is part of that, you know. It's part of the four path. That is the right intention, thinking of renunciation, thinking of giving. So you need to have this ingredient to support this. We call it some of these spiritual qualities. They support that. You know, without the support, you can't do that. And they say, I just want to know how to meditate. So I don't want to know anything about the teacher. I just want to know how to meditate. So I said, it doesn't work. It comes together. It's a whole package, you know. So meditation is only one factor of the whole noble four path. But you have to have the eight ingredients, you know. All the ingredients is there, you know. Can you bake a cake only with flour? You can't, isn't it? You have eggs, you have other things, you have to have sugar, you have to have all the ingredients is there. So of course it doesn't work, you know. So that's why these eight ingredients, eight factors. So the Buddha also divide into threefold of practice. That is, divide into morality and stillness, samadhi, group, samadhi, so, and then wisdom. So he will divide into these threefold of practice. So the first one is right view, you know, right view, because it's important. We have to have a little bit of wisdom, you know, to start off with, to have the understanding, you know. Right view is not that I'm right, you're wrong. So I'm doing something right, we make other people wrong, no. Is when the Buddha talks about right view, actually it's right in the context that leads us to freedom, leads us to happiness. For example, even though we are doing something that is something that is really good, something that is beneficial to ourselves, for our own well-being, but maybe sometimes people might think that we are stupid. You know, I have someone said to me, one of our supporters said to me that he was being humiliated, that he's really stupid. Why you keep all these precepts? Why you don't drink? Why you keep five precepts? And then of course he's a bit upset. I said you don't have to get upset. I said, you know, because when we get upset, we attach to our own views that I'm right, isn't it? So they are wrong because they disagree with me. But I'm doing something right. I said, yes, you're doing something right. But if you get upset, you suffer. You know, it's okay. If other people argue with you, it's fine. Even the whole world argue with you, it's fine. But make sure we don't argue with others, you know. It's their problem. They disagree with us. It's their problem. But we know that this brings us happiness. This is for our own well-being. Because if we get upset with others because of others disagree with us, then we attach to our own views. I'm right, you know. It's not about right or wrong, you know. Or because I'm doing something right, you know, how come you humiliate me, and then how come you said that I'm doing something stupid? I'm doing something, you know, it's really good, you know. Even though you're doing something that is really wholesome and bring you happiness, if other people disagree with you, it's not our business, you know. So it's not that I'm right, you're wrong. So when right view, when we attach to our own views, it's also wrong view, you know, because we bring us suffering because we attach to that, we got upset. If people think that we shouldn't do that, we got upset. You know, those are right views. So we have that you have to come from the understanding. So this is the wisdom aspect, you know. And right view and right intention. So when you have the right view, you have the right intention. So the right intention is you thinking of renunciation. So renunciation doesn't mean that you have to become monks or nuns. Thinking of giving, renounce. You know, rather than you want to get something, you know, but you giving up, you know, because craving itself actually brings us suffering, isn't it? When we can't get what we want, we suffer, you know, and then thinking of renunciation, thinking of not harming. So thinking of, you know, that not harming others, you know, thinking of kindness and compassion, being kind to others, thinking of non-violent, non-harming, and this is right intention. We have the intention of not harming others and have the intention to give, you know, because the more we give, the happier we are, isn't it? So I remember some years ago, one of my relatives, that is my sister-in-law brother. So my sister-in-law took him to the temple to offer dana, practitioner, offer food, you know, things like that. So she said, oh, we share merits, you know, normally after we offer something, we share merits. And then he said, I don't want to share, how can I share? If I share, I don't have no more, you know. Actually, people don't understand. Actually, the more you share, the happier you are. Actually, it's not divide and not minus, actually, it's multiply. You know, it's multiply. I remember someone said to me that I just want to have more children because I only want to have one child, because so that my love for my child is 100%. If I have two more children, then my love to my children is not 100%. If I have four, then each one got 20%, 25%. I said, it doesn't work like that. I told that person, I said, no, you can love your... If you have four children, you can love your four children 100%. So it's become 400%. You know, actually, like this is how, because the people perception, they think, the others said, no, you love, you know, you give it all to God. You can love all your four children 100%. So you have 400%. Actually, it times, you know, so you get more. So the more you give, the happier you are, isn't it? When we let go, we feel happy. When we try to get something, actually you can feel, if you pay attention to your body, your body tense up. Whenever you crave for something, whenever you can't get what you want, you know, you think about it, it's a lot of agitation, isn't it? Your mind keep thinking about how am I going to get this, how am I going to have this, you know, and your mind keep thinking about that. Actually, how do you feel? Actually, you can see the difference. You can feel that there is a lot of agitation, irritation in your mind, isn't it? When you want something, you want to get something. Then the moment you get it, and then, you know, it's very fast. Our happiness only come in that anticipation that we're going to get it. The moment we get it, oh, what next? You know, then we look for next thing. So they said when we give, it's the other way around. The more we give, the happier we are, isn't it? We feel relaxed, you know, it's so happy. So they said sometimes it's part of the ingredients, you know, we need to have the happiness, you know. If we are so miserable and lots of suffering, it's difficult to practice. Who want to practice, isn't it? You know, especially if you met, some people force themselves to sit and sit and sit, and they're really in agony, you know. And then, hey, you don't want to practice, you don't meditate, isn't it? And then it causes more suffering, you know. But you have to have the happy heart. You have to have the happy heart. When you're happy, it's easy. You relax, you know. When we're happy, our mind is bright. We have more energy, you know. And we have more clarity. When we're happy, we need to have that energy to sustain, to continue, you know. So it's part of the ingredients. And ultimately, this leads us to develop our wisdom. So only with the clarity, only we see, you know. Of course, when we first practice, you know, we will swing from one end to another hand. And as we develop our wisdom, our swing will be less and less, you know. That is, we have to keep practicing, you know. There's no such thing that I just tell you, you know, and then you do once and then you get off. Okay, I get done with. So then it'd be so easy, we all got enlightened, isn't it? Listen to one talk and okay, give you the method and you just do it, you know. Even the Buddha can't do it. The Buddha himself also have to practice. Buddhas have practiced eon lifetime. You know, how much effort he put in. He still have to walk the path. Actually, it's an individual path. You have to experience yourself. You have to put into practice. And then wisdom cannot be taught. But of course, we have some guidelines, some knowledge. You know, that one can be taught, you know. But ultimately, you have to put into practice. So that's why, you know, the first one is right view and right intention. And then right speech. And this part is really important, like the Buddha mentioned about right speech. Yeah? You have to fulfill the five conditions. The Buddha mentioned in one of the suttas, he said, you don't extol or disparage others. So what you said, like, in here, the extol, like you don't praise someone. It doesn't mean that we cannot praise. But sometimes, yeah, sometimes we can. It's like, for example, when we praise someone, truly come from our heart. We truly appreciate that person, you know. But it's not like sometimes, like more like a flatterer, you know. You know, like, you know, you're just putting someone really high up, you know, or putting someone down. It's not like this, you know. But, you know, yeah, sometimes a little praise takes a long way, you know. But what he's mentioned here, like you extol someone, you put someone down. So he said, for example, like when we want to praise, when we want to tell people that, okay, if you are keeping the five precepts, you know, and you restrain yourself, you practice generosity, you practice the eightfold path, it leads you to freedom and happiness, you know, leads you to freedom, you know, freedom from all suffering, for your own liberation. But then if you said that, then the Buddha said you only speak on the Dhamma. You just speak on the principle. You are not really, you know, putting anyone down. But if you can say that, you know, oh, those who practice the Eightfold Path, those who walk the path, oh, they are the one, you know, they will free themselves, you know, they are the one, they will freedom, they will have attained the freedom from all suffering, and then they'll have the liberation. So then, what happened? Then you will offend the other people that they are not walking the path, isn't it? Because you mentioned the people. But if you said those, like for example, like we said, oh, those who pursue, you know, the happiness, you know, within themselves, are they free themselves? But we said the pursuit of this will lead to this, but we don't say those people who are doing this, they are good or are they bad. We don't say, oh, those who are keeping the five precepts, they are all goody-goody. Those that are not keeping it, they are really bad, you know. It's not, then it becomes like you extol someone, you disparage someone, then you lead to conflict, isn't it? You upset other people, you know, and you praise someone, you put someone down. So we only, the Buddha said, we only speak on principle, the Dhamma, but not anything personal. It's not, we are not pointing finger to anyone. And then the Buddha said, you have to, the right speech actually, nowadays, because of when we talk about
freedom of speech doesn't mean that we can speak anything we like, isn't it? But the Buddha said right speech is they have to fulfill the five conditions. You know, things have to be true, and then have to out of kindness and compassion. Is not come from the place that, you know, sometimes it's come from our big ego. We just want to tell the person off, you know, that you're not right, you know. Then it's not come from kindness and compassion, and then have to be beneficial to that person. The most important thing is right time, right place. You know, it's important. Right time, right place is important. You know, because you don't want to admonish someone in front of everybody, isn't it? It's very embarrassing. You know, and for example, of that person really tired, stressed out, and it's not the time to talk, isn't it? You know, and then the words that we use, the Buddha said, you know, our tone is also important, how we speak, you know. And I remember recently someone asked me, because of someone said to me, like people, she was being, this person being criticized, like because her speech, that people think that people think that her speech is a bit nasty. And She asked for my comments, you know. Then I speak in a very nice way. So I give this person example. I said sometimes maybe your tone. For example, you ask for a favor, but the tone, the way you ask, you're like giving an order, you know, commanding. Of course, people not happy, you know. Hey, I have no obligation, isn't it? You know. Then I said you have to improve maybe the tone, the way you say, but you don't change too much, like, you know, like become a sweetie pie. You know, if you become a sweetie pie, actually it's fake, you know. And then again you swing the other end, it's not you, you know. It's not you at all. For example, like it's those who know me that I'm someone that I don't like to fuss over people, and I don't like to be fussed too, you know. So to me, I'm upfront, direct, and that's it. And I'm not guessing. So for me, it's like for example, if I ask somebody, oh, do you need this? You know, if the person said no, okay. But you don't. Some people that they want it, they said no, and then they want me to keep asking, oh, do you want it? Are you sure? All this, I don't do that. If you tell me no, oh no, okay. You know, that's it. You know, I'm not going to keep asking you whether you want this or not. But some people they want you to fast over them, you know. Even deep down they want something, but the mouth they said no, I don't want it. But they want you to keep asking them, you know, oh, you know, but I don't do that, you know. So then, you know, I don't fast over people. So that's why I said, if of course I have to be sensitive too, as I know, like some people they are more very sensitive. You know, and then I know that if I know the person well, I know the person will get offended easily and very sensitive. Sometimes when I talk to these people, I try to soften a little bit, you know. The words I choose, I'll be more careful, soften a little bit. But I'm not too much like, sometimes you don't go too much like a sweetie pie, then it's not me, isn't it? I remember last time I did a retreat, I conduct a retreat at Jhana Grove. So at the end, you have the loving kindness. So because when you're in that, doing the loving kindness, your mind is really peaceful, calm. Then my voice is really very soft, very, very gentle. And then one of my nuns of me, she said, oh, it's just different, you don't speak. I said, of course, that time my mind is in that state, you know, very peaceful, calm state. So that's why when I do the guided meditation, my voice is very, very soft and very, very gentle. Then she said, oh, you don't speak like that, like normally. I said, of course I don't speak like that normally. If I couldn't speak like that, everybody look at me, all the nuns, what happened today? Remember Hasa Panya, something wrong with her. You know, I said, if I certainly said, how are you? You know? Oh, come on, everyone. It's not me, isn't it? It's really fake. It's not me, you know? So I said, that's why this is how we have to know the balance. Yes, we know that we need to improve, you know? Maybe sometimes the way we speak, our tone make people feel that way, make people feel that you are a bit harsh, you know? Then
Of course, we will try to, you know, soften a little bit, become more gentle. And what we said, the way we said it, we have to change a little bit, but not completely to an opposite another person. So then it's you swing too far, and not you anymore. It's really picky, isn't it? So that's why I said if I'm the one that normally I don't fast over people. I know some people that like to be fast. You know, they feel that if you don't fast over them, they think that you don't care. But actually, it's not that I don't care, it's just the way I am. You know, I don't fast over people. Those who know me, they know that actually, just the way I am, I don't fast over I don't fast over people. But some people, they need that. Then they might think that I don't care. But actually, I do care. You know, but I just not. But you don't have to. I mean, I can. Maybe I'm aware of that. Sometimes I'm aware of certain people that need a bit faster. But maybe I just ask a little bit more. Oh, actually, how are you? You know, if I remember, because sometimes out of habit, because especially I know the person is okay, I don't go in to really fast over how are you, and you know, to me I feel that it's so fake. You know, sometimes like it's not you also, you know, and sometimes also we have to, yes, we need to improve, but have to draw the line, not going to do opposite, and then it becomes like so fake, you know. So that's like, yes, you do need to change. That's why I told this person, yes, maybe the way you speak, the way you your tone, you have to improve. Maybe become more gentle, softer, you know, and more pleasing to the ears. But you don't completely change to another person, like a sweetie pie. Then you're really fake, I said, you know. Then again, you create another suffering, isn't it? You create another image of you, you know. And that is not you. So I said, this is how, you know, it takes a lot of practice, you know, to practice the middle way. It's a wisdom part, you know. You have to have the clarity to use your own discretion where to draw the line. It's too much on this part or too much on this part. Like the other person, like Jen, that this lady, that then she said, oh, that's why now I don't care. I don't clean my room properly because I want to overcome my defilements I attach. I said, you're too far, you know. You know, it's actually, we still can clean, but without the attachment, without worrying about, you know, like how people look at you or people will judge you, you know. You happily doing it to clean your house is fine, you know. Like for me, I enjoy cleaning when I'm on retreat or a day off, you know, in my kuti. And I feel, you know, when you sit down, your kuti is clean. You feel that it's very nice, you know. You have this, you feel, it's really very satisfying, you know, that your place is clean. But it's not because I clean it, I'm concerned about people come to my kuti and look at my kuti, you know, that they think my kuti is dirty. I don't think that way. It's just like I enjoy doing it, you know. So that's like, you know where to draw the line. Like this person, oh, because of I don't want to attach, then I don't clean my room. It's really how people swing from one end to another, you know. And then that's like, that's like walk the middle way, you know. You need a lot of wisdom, you know. So that right speech and right action, that's, you know, that any action that is unwholesome, harming others, you know, we restrain, you know, so have the right action. And then this is right livelihood. So one of the right livelihood, a lot of people, they think that right livelihood, of course, if they are trading weapons, you know, trading alcohol, of course, this is not a right livelihood. But lots of people just think that, oh yeah, being a doctor is definitely right livelihood. But if being a doctor, you always think that how much you can get out of it, you don't care about your patient, you don't, you know, you don't care for your patient, only what you think you want to, how much you can get. So I want to earn a lot, I want to get out of it. Then it's also not right livelihood, isn't it? And it's important whatever profession that you're in. So do you do it with care? Do you do it with love? You know, do you have that? Whatever you do it all you got, you know. You give it 100%, you know, and that kind of attitude. Then whatever you do is right rightly put, that the job that you do you do your whatever job that we've been given, you know, our duties, we perform our duties, you know, with full attention, you know, we full give it all we got, and then we truly care, you know, with love, you know, with care, with love. And that is important, you know. If we don't do it, we don't care. You only think of what suit me, you know. I don't care even on the expense of others. And then that is not rightly put, you know, because you didn't come with that. It's important whether you come with the care and love, whatever you do, whatever job that you're given, whatever duty, you know, that you need to perform. So when you perform your duty, do you perform your duty with love, with care, with compassion, you know, with thinking of the for the benefit of others, you know, that is right livelihood. It's not the job itself, you know. And actually, how you do your job is important. It's not what job that you need to do, you know, but how you do it. Do you do it with care, with love, with compassion? And that is right livelihood. So a lot of people thinking that, oh yeah, it's as long as I'm not trading weapons, you know, drugs, you know, then I'm right livelihood. But if you have the kind of attitude, you know, then being very selfish, then it's not right livelihood. So right, like whatever profession that we're in, so whatever all the duties that we need to perform, we truly do it with all lots of love and care. So imagine, we actually, when we do that way, whatever we do, we not only benefit others, we benefit ourselves. Imagine whatever you do with so much love, you feel it's different, isn't it? You feel happy too when you have lots of love. When someone has lots of love, and that naturally the person, you know, if someone has lots of love, actually they have strength, you know, they're mentally very strong. If someone, whenever they do, if they themselves have lots of metta, lots of loving kindness, actually they're very strong. It's mentally very strong and stable. So then come to right effort. So right effort, that, you know, that the putting effort, you know, that whatever is unwholesome thoughts that not arise, the Buddha said, to we try to not to allow that to arise, you know. And if the unwholesome thoughts already arises, then we try to abandon the unwholesome, you know, whatever is unwholesome. So then we try to bring in the wholesome, you know, that we deliberately, you know, bring up the sense of thoughts of loving kindness, you know. Then we try to maintain that. So that is the right effort. For example, like we have that, for example, knowing is not enough. You know, like be aware of things is not enough. But we know that, for example, if we know that this is something unwholesome, so we have to make an effort, you know, not to follow this, restrain ourselves, not to follow these unwholesome thoughts, because unwholesome thoughts will lead us to negativity. So we have to put in effort. That is the right effort, not to follow these negative thoughts or unwholesome thoughts, you know. Then because we know that we don't restrain ourselves, so we were sucked in, and we will have this negative emotion, and that negative emotion will lead us to suffering. So we don't go there. We restrain ourselves. We put in effort. That is the right effort. Actually, right effort and right mindfulness, and the is in the samadhi group, you know, and the they call it right the right concentration, but not so much a concentration like you'll be able to focus and, you know, and you'll be able to, you being attentive, you know. So these three factors actually that in one group, in the samadhi group, the right view, right attention, right intention, actually is in the wisdom, because it's a threefold practice, is the wisdom factor. And then the right speech, right action, right livelihood, and this is the morality. So this is the virtue. So and then this is the samadhi group, actually right effort, mindfulness, and the focus, you know. And these is three come together. So they say sometimes if you just focus without awareness, it's not good enough because it's just snap easily. But if you have these three come together, when these three intertwine together, it become very strong because you have the right effort, you know. But whatever unwholesome thoughts arises, you know, you restrain yourself not to follow the unwholesome thoughts, and because you have to aware of that, and then you have to be attentive. But these three, you cannot separate them. It's a group. It's under stillness, samadhi group. So a lot of people, I know I come across people that they just focus, and they're not aware what's happening, and then it's no good, you know. For example, someone said that, oh, I'm only focused on chewing. And actually, what the person have eaten, you know, actually the food is already rotten. But the person not aware that the food is rotten. Because this person only focused on chewing, swallowing, you know. Just the focus, then the awareness is not there, you know. Then it's no good, isn't it? So that's why you have to have that awareness. So this is the 8 ingredients, you know, have to be there, you know. That's why this is the practice middle way, actually, to how to balance, actually, you have to develop wisdom. The wisdom come from the clarity. When you have clarity, your mind is sharp. Then you have your own judgment. You can judge, isn't it? But I can't really teach you how to judge, isn't it? But have to come from your experience. Have to come from your practice. You know, like for example, other people can't tell you how they tune the guitar, isn't it? But you have to come from your experience. You know how to play guitar. You know how. Then you know to do that. But cannot be taught, you know. Wisdom cannot be taught, but we have to put into practice. We have to have all the ingredients is there, and we have to put into practice. Then we have to develop our wisdom, develop that clarity. Then only we can know, use our own discretion, whether it's too much over this side or too much the other side, you know. It's not that there's nothing that is, I can give you the answer and you do and then you get done with and you solve your problem. No such thing, you know. So you have to put into practice, you know. You have to have all the 8 ingredients together. So the middle way discovered by the Buddha, so middle way is the way that you practice, you walk the, this is the eightfold path, you practice, you walk this path, and that will help you to be able to use your own discretion to how to balance, you know. It's no such thing, I cannot tell you a way to balance, you know. You know, but you have to put into practice, then you know how to balance yourself, you know, how to balance whether this is too much, you know. And then you're aware, sometimes we know that, okay, maybe, you know, it's a bit, you know, maybe the other time that, you know, maybe the my speech, maybe my tone is a bit too harsh. Maybe this time I try to, you know, soften a little bit, you know. You know, so you have to keep practicing. So then we will swing from one end to another. Then as our wisdom develop, our swing will be less. You know. Less and less. That's the middle way. Then you stop swing so much. So when you really have wisdom, you don't swing as much, because you know when to act appropriately. When is, you know, you have your, because when you have the clarity, you'll be able to judge when to act appropriately. When is the right time to act? When is what is appropriate at the right time, right place? What appropriate to say, what is not appropriate to say. And then this takes a lot of wisdom. So the wisdom, that's what you have to put in practice, you have to develop wisdom. So that's why there isn't any method that I can really tell you how to balance, you know. You have to put into practice. So I offer this Swadharma reflection. May this teaching be a benefit to all of you. So any questions or comments?
Okay. This question from France. In this day and age, materialistic gestures seem to be viewed as giving, but I don't have the money to meet the standards of expectation from others. This often results as a feeling of isolation and rejection. So how can you give without money? People forget time giving. Yes, actually giving, the Buddha said the highest giving, like you give, you know, like the highest gift, like you give Dharma, you know, and you know, that like a gift of Dharma is the highest gift, excel all gifts, the Buddha said. And actually, for example, we as a monastic also we need to give. But what we give is we give our service, you know. But actually, it doesn't matter how people view, you know. As long as whatever we do, make us happy when we give, when we make us happy, it's important, you know. And we don't have, actually it's not what, actually the Buddhists also said, whatever we give with a happy heart. Whatever that makes us happy. It's not how much you give, it's not the value. It's a, remember there is a story about the Buddhists, you know, that the little boy offered him, you know, just sand. But in the little boy heart, that is gold. So what is important is actually the happiness come from your mentality, that what you feel happy, that oh, I'm happy to give, you know. It doesn't matter how people look at you, what people say, it doesn't matter, it's not important. So actually giving, you know, like you keep giving your time, your service, it's all giving. Even that you know, that giving is actually is excel material giving. It's easy to give material things. To give time is difficult. So you are giving something that is difficult to give. And actually, and for example, we give something like peace. You know, we sit with someone to be there for that person, you know. And this is priceless. It's very precious thing that we can give, you know. Peace to others, you know. Kindness, you know. And not to underestimate our kindness. I remember there's I went for one of these, there's a conference. And it's about the help line that help people the suicide, you know. There's a help line, and this lady, her job is she's helping people with suicide. And she said that someone had shared that this man had shared his story with her. That this man, he was on his way. He was alone. He was so depressed, and he just really feel like he wanted to. To kill himself. So on his way, you know, and on his way, you know, that he's going to kill himself, you know. And then he was driving, and he was really depressed that he wanted to kill himself. And then someone on the other side waved to him and smiled. And suddenly he feel that, oh, I'm not alone, because sometimes when you're lonely, and then he feel like, you know, what's the point I'm living, you know. Sometimes he's sucking into the negativities, and that person smiled, waving at him, saved his life. They said sometimes, and I think the person who do that don't even know that he saved this person's life. You know, sometimes not to underestimate even a smile to others. Say hello to others, how are you? You know, actually sometimes it seems that it's small. Actually sometimes means a lot to others. You know, they say sometimes it's not about, we don't have to have lots of money to give, you know. You know, whatever we do, give us that happiness, we give it happy, you know. And we don't have to have lots of money to give. And that's why, you know, actually if we be able to give our time, be of service, actually this is even harder than material things is easy. And some people think that they're generous, that they like to dump rubbish to others, you know. The thing that they don't want, you give it to others. And this is not generous, isn't it? It's just because things that you don't want, you give it to others. And then you think that I'm so generous. Actually, you dump your rubbish to others, you know. Then you think that you're so generous. That's why normally what I receive, the things that I receive, normally I don't simply give to others, because sometimes like the person do not need it. The person have to think how to deal with your thing, you know. Actually, you are really transfer your rubbish to others, you know. If the things that you don't want, you give it to others, and that is not generous, you know. And actually, it's always come back to your heart, you know.
whatever you give, you know, you get the joy and happiness when you give. It's not what you give, it's not the material things that you give. Actually, it's what makes you happy. Whatever you give with a happy heart. It doesn't matter what we give, you know. That, for example, we can even, you know, get out of our way, you know, to give time to others, you know. And we also need to give. So even your practice, you know, you can give your peace to others, you can support others with your peace, you know. And that is really precious, you know. It's not the money, even you have lots of money also, you can't buy peace, isn't it? So that's why it's not the material. It's actually the other way around. It's so easy to give material things, isn't it? It's easy to give. But, you know, like time, the service, you know, to really to be there for others is not easy, you know. Actually, material thing is easy. So that's why it doesn't matter. If people think that you are not generous because you don't have much money, it's their problem. So we give what we can. As long as we are happy, it doesn't matter how other people think of us, how people feel of us. You will never win whatever you do. You know, there's still people think that, you know, that you are not good enough. Like, for example, like me, in my role, I can tell you, it's part of this role. No matter what I do, you know, it's still people will criticize you. You still have the accusation, you know. And it's not because of me. It's just the role that I'm in, you know. Because you cannot please everyone, you know. That's why sometimes people, you know, attach to what is fair, what is fairness, you know. I can tell you fairness also is very subjective. You see, isn't it? If things that goes your way, you think that's truly fair. If things don't go your way, it's not fair because it doesn't go your way, isn't it? That's why I can't please everyone, isn't it? You know, some things go, you know, then of course people will complain that I'm not fair. But actually, you can't really make everybody happy. So that's why if I'm really affected by how people look at me, how people think of me, or I give a talk, I will check, hey, how's my talk, whether people like it or not. I suffer so much, you know. I don't care, you know. You like it or you don't like it, this is what you get, you know. You know, I can't help it. I'm doing my best already with my best ability. But if you want more than that, sorry, I can't give you, you know. That is my best, you know. If you want better than best, sorry, cannot, you know. Yeah. Actually, we create lots of suffering for ourselves. It's really concerned about how people think of us, whether we are generous or not generous, you know. I always have accusation, you know, all the time, you know. Sometimes I think that I don't do being accused, you know. That's why it's part of being in the leadership role. If I can't take criticism, I can't take this complaint, I can't take all the accusation, you will not fit to be a leader. As a leader, that is part of your role, that you have to take all this, you know. If you can't take this, then you are not fit to be a leader. That is part of the role. Like that's all the politician, you know, or president. Whoever be the president will get all this. You know, people will always complain, you know. You know, will always get criticized. Like the Buddha said, you know, people will complain those, you know, criticize those who speak later. Or criticize those who have been silent, not to speak, not to talk, and will criticize those who speak a lot. So that's why whatever you do, you're not going to please everyone. You know, sometimes it's truly, this is my experience, you know. Sometimes, you know, but when you try to explain, that's why you try to cover, try to justify it. So if you keep quiet, you admit. So, whatever way, whether you're going to explain, you're going to say something, you know, whatever you do is not right too, you know. So that's why it's always go back to your own conscience. So as long as you know that I'm doing my best, I do what I can, and of course I can't please everyone, and you know, that's always go back to our inner integrity and our honesty. So what's the point that you know, the whole world praise you, but deep down you know you have done something. We cannot escape. We know ourselves, isn't it? We have done something that is not honest, you know. We know within ourselves. We can lie to the whole world, we can't lie to ourselves. So, but if the whole world said that I'm a bad guy, you know, but I deep down I know I haven't done that, you know, if, you know, that is okay. You can say whatever you like, you know. So not to be affected, not so much concerned about whether people like us or not, whether people think that we are generous or not generous, you know. And that's important. So, and these questions, any more questions or comments? Any more questions or comments? Any more questions, comments? No? No questions? No comments? All satisfied? Satisfied customer? Happy? Huh? Okay. So, okay. So questions and comments once. Any more questions or comments twice? Any more questions or comments? Okay. Finish. Okay, thank you for listening.